What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired. Aloha, everyone.
Yo, what's up? It's G-Love.
This is It's Becky, bitch.
Yo, it's your boy, Nessie the Rilla, from the east to the west. You already know who does it best.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga.
I'm Juliet from Miss O Cool Girl.
I'm Ray Isla.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women.
This is Danielle Petty.
This is your boy, Yassad, with the band Pepper.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison.
It is important to show love.
I love your energy.
You're listening to Fired Up.
Fired Up. And I'm fired up.
I'm fired up on the blockchain.
You're listening to my guy, my Web3 bestie.
And I'm fired up with Travi.
My boy, Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi.
With Travi.
With Travi.
And I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
With Travi.
Fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go.
Let's go.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land. My name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control. I get a little fired
up. Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. And before we get into today's amazing conversation with Jeremy.eth, the founder of the project that's out there that is taking the NFT market by storm, that's Itty Bits. Many of you might remember Jeremy.eth from being a part of other communities in the Web3 space, including, of course, the OG CryptoPunks. We're going to talk all about Jeremy.eth's love of the CryptoPunks. We're going to talk about how it inspired him to create other projects and what we could possibly look forward to in the future. Before we get into that, I just want to let you know, if you've been listening from the beginning, or if you're a new listener, I appreciate you so much. And we've got something that's going to be going out to listeners. We are going to be teaming up with a company called Scoop 3. And as Scoop 3 develops, we're going to develop. And what are we going to develop? What do you want to call them? Loyalty badges? POAPs? NFTs? That's right. You're going to be able to earn them just for listening to the podcast. So as that information comes out, we'll have the founder come on and talk all about what Scoop 3 is and how you can earn your own NFTs just for being a loyal listener to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. So I'm excited for that. And I'm also excited for the project that Cosimo de' Medici himself deemed the mutants to the CryptoPunks. And that is the Itty Bits. So let's get into it. Welcome back to Fired Up on the Blockchain with Travi. And it's been a minute because, as I promised you out there, I was going to take the time to record episodes when I feel like there's real value to deliver. Over the course of the last couple of years, we saw a lot of things in Web3. We saw a lot of things in NFTs. And of course, even just more recently, we saw a lot of things with crypto. I'm here today with somebody who I've actually known of in the space for quite some time. It's Jeremy.eth. And I have to say, man, we have a lot of mutual friends. Actually, some of my best friends in Web3 are our mutual friends. And I think you know some of this already. I first heard you on NFT 365 podcast with Fanzo back on December 29th, 2021. And you might not know this. I actually went on to co-host episodes with Fanzo through season two of NFT 365. And almost a year to the day later, I co-hosted one of my favorite podcasts with Fanzo. But you've been in Web3 so long. I remember your NFT 365 episode because, just like you, I'm also a girl dad. And what sticks out to me most wasn't just the project that you were releasing, wasn't just the fact that you had just recently sold out. It's the fact that you were talking a lot about your family. And being a girl dad myself, you know, just kind of thinking about what it's been like to work in Web3, what it's been like to release a project, what it's been like to really meet people kind of like yourself that I really look up to. And at that time, I think your oldest daughter was starting high school. You're probably getting ready for college now at this point. You're a real OG in the space. Crypto punk holder from back kind of a long time ago, I guess. And some of our other mutual friends too, like Vic Wowo is a good friend of mine. Of course, Becky as well. We advise on projects together. And Vic, shout out to Vic. He actually just recently gifted me my Forever X-Punk that I'm never going to ever sell no matter what happens. And now I've got other friends, big time collectors, many of them also CryptoPunk holders like yourself, saying, you got to talk to Jeremy.eth. This itty bits thing, this ETHscriptions thing is something really, really interesting. And that was maybe right after you had minted out. Well-written thread by Inception Lee, a good friend of mine in the space, because he really turned me on to looking into the technology, because he knows I'm not going to chase a pump. And he knows I'm not going to try to be like, hey, let me collect as everyone else is doing it. He gave me a really good reason for collecting and being a part of the itty bits community, if you will. So I got to talk to you, man. Jeremy.eth, I'm so happy that you're able to take some time out of your busy schedule. Congratulations on minting out itty bits, first of all. But also a big question too. Let's introduce yourself for anyone listening who doesn't know you quite yet. Give some of the background to the listeners. And also maybe equally important to a lot of people, let's talk about your love of CryptoPunks as part of that. Because I feel like in your Web3 identity, CryptoPunks is so interwoven between, you know, releasing the Expansion Punks project and also releasing the Itty Bits. There's a lot of CryptoPunk kind of love and lore to it. So tell everybody a little bit about you and what is it about CryptoPunks that kind of helps create this identity that is Jeremy.eth?
Well, first, yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I don't do the podcast circuit, so it's really cool to kind of get to meet folks like yourself, get to chat and get to share the story of how certain things come to be. And yeah, I mean, like, where does it start? I guess it starts in late 2017 when I learned more about crypto. A friend of mine at the time at work, introduced me to Ethereum. And he said, you got to pick up some Ethereum. It's only like $275. And, you know, it's going to do something. It's pretty special. And I didn't know what it was. I knew what Bitcoin was, but I thought it was just video game money. So I didn't really get involved in crypto earlier on, even though I worked in high tech, right? At the time I was at Microsoft. If anyone should have been more connected to what was going on, probably me back in, 2013, 2012 should have been aware. But I wasn't. I wasn't into decentralization. I wasn't into any of that. So it wasn't until 2017 that I started poking around and understanding what it was. Shortly thereafter, I bought my first ENS domain, and it was before short domains were available. You could only buy 7 characters or more. So I had some kind of concatenation of first initial last name or something like that that I had originally bought. But I was fascinated by that, this idea of kind of, a redirect for your long address and this idea of, potentially this future of decentralized kind of domain and ownership and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't realize it was an NFT at the time. To me, it was just this ownable thing. But it got me thinking and, it got me exploring more about that concept and more about what that could be. So I goofed around in ENS for a little bit. I knew about punks in 18 or so, but I didn't have one. And I didn't really understand the art aspects of CryptoPunks at the time. So I somewhat dismissed it. Wish I hadn't, but I did at the time. And it wasn't until, I don't know. I mean, the bear market hit shortly after that. There was a good, I think it was a 2-year bear or so that was pretty rough on most of crypto. And then it wasn't until I believe it was winter of 2020 when I started seeing kind of the Beeple drops and stuff like that. And there were a couple of interesting drops. There was open editions in December of 2020 that I started looking closely at. I decided not to mint those because they were like $900. And then as soon as the mint wrapped, and it was an open edition, so it was a really short, I forget the amount of time that it was open for. But it was really short and I missed it. And then an hour later I saw it closed and the secondary was already off on Nifty Gateway. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And so then I jumped in. So yeah, secondary market was banging and I realized oh, maybe there's something here. So I quickly acquired a couple of the open editions on secondary, when the price was still, barely over the mint price. Right. And then held it, right. Watched it. And then I watched it skyrocket. Then I watched it all come back down. And so that was an interesting kind of experience of just watching okay, there's something here. There's a cultural phenomenon here that, that is, addictive. You know, it's addictive for people that like to collect and like to own. There's a social experiment here. And, you know, from there, I just realized, like, okay, I've got to spend more time, like, thinking about how this stuff plays out. And so, you know, naturally from there, I started researching, right? I started researching other NFTs, other collection, what else is out there? And every time I did, it would always come back to CryptoPunks. And so in, you know, January, February of 2021 is when I started my research. And I'd have to go back and look. I think I bought my CryptoPunk 7741 in roughly May of 2021. So you can kind of do the math from like January to May is about four and a half, five months. And that was all research. Like pretty much every day I was diving into the CryptoPunks website. I was pinch to zooming, you know, on the main kind of deep zoom explorer there, you know, watching all of the different punks, learning everything I could about each of the traits, you know, understanding rarity, understanding price, you know, watching the floor. So I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of what the space was. You know, I wasn't ever looking to get, you know, something super rare because the prices had already gone up by 2021 and they were rising quite frequently. In early 2021, I remember I did a brown bag at Microsoft for my team, which is where anybody can bring a topic basically to a monthly meeting over lunch. People bring their own lunch. And if you're passionate about something, you just present on it, right? And so January, February or so of 2021, I did a brown bag and I talked about the Beeple drop. I talked about CryptoPunks. I even told people in that meeting, now might be the time, you know, I can't remember the price. Like I have to go back and find my PowerPoint decks if I still have them. But I was telling them at the time, like, you know, the cheapest one could be had for like, I think it was like two or three ETH or something crazy low like that for a CryptoPunk. And everybody in the room kind of like just, you know, discounted me and laughed it off as like, you know, no one's going to spend, you know, thousands of dollars on a 24 by 24 pixel, you know, image. So, but looking back, it's like, man, that might be the best alpha call I ever gave to a bunch of tech people over lunch and nobody took it. But yeah, that, I mean, it shows kind of there's 4 or 5 months of kind of research there, before I did finally pull the trigger on 7741. And I pulled it because it was on the floor and it kind of looked like me. You know, it had the glasses, it had the right skin tone. You know, it's bald, you know, it was probably the one in the collection that looks the most like me. And so, you know, I acquired it, kind of made it my digital identity. And then from there, it didn't stop. Like my research and my exploration continued. And all that time, like you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, like you're a girl dad too. I have three daughters. So all that time, you know, my daughters would also kind of be seeing, you know, dad looking at cartoon characters, you know, pixel 8-bit characters or whatever, every day, evenings after dinner, whatever, like, what is he doing? Like, why is he always like engulfed in this? So they would be over my shoulder asking me about it. And, you know, naturally they would want to pinch to zoom themselves. They would want to look at the universe themselves, and find themselves in it. And so they did, or they attempted to, frankly. And at the time, you know, at the time the ages, it was about 3.5, 4 years ago or so by now, 3 years ago. So, there was something like 7, 8, and 12 or 13. And they couldn't find themselves, right? Like my oldest wanted a hoodie. That's a male only trait. My middle one wanted a smile, but the females in the CryptoPunks don't show emotion. They just have lipstick. And my youngest, wanted a cowgirl hat or a cowboy hat. Because she likes horses and, you know, she wanted to be a cowgirl. And that's a male only trait as well. And so jokingly, I was like, well, let's make it happen in Photoshop. So, over the next couple of days, like, you know, I just downloaded a few of the traits, you know, a few of the punks with those traits. And I just kind of reverse engineered the traits pixel by pixel, and made, you know, resized the cowboy hat, you know, figured out a way to, for the smile for the female, and figured out kind of, probably the hardest one was the hoodie, like making it fit the smaller female archetype. And so that was just, it started as just fun for the girls. Like maybe they would print it, maybe they would put it on a sticker or something like that and have it on their school notebooks or something. But I, doing that process, it was kind of fun, right? Like it was kind of fun to kind of figure out, well, how would the hoodie work? How would the cowboy hat work? How would you accomplish, you know, a smile or a frown on a smaller female archetype? Which is, you know, I have threads on that, like why I think, you know, Larva Labs originally didn't have smiling females and frowning females. It's because the chin shape is different and the pixels would collide and it just wouldn't look right. And so there were kind of nuances that we had to do in Expansion Punks to make that work. I just tipped off Expansion Punks. What the hell is Expansion Punks? Well, that exercise with the kids like turned into this kind of exploratory effort of, well, what if I made the zombies, apes, and aliens as females? Because those are all built on the male archetype, you know, and they all carry the male traits. And so I goofing around, I did that. And after doing, you know, the 9 aliens, the 24 apes, and the 88 zombies, using a kind of a more diverse archetype set, it was like, well, that was like the hard work is done on all the traits. Like, what if I figured out how to kind of translate this to, you know, a whole 10K, but then I reversed some of the, you know, biases, the unintentional biases, I'll say, in the original collection by flipping the 60-40 to be 60 female, 40 male, just to help balance this ecosystem of 20,000 punks, 10,000 crypto punks plus 10,000 expansion punks. So that was a fun process of like doing the math, matching trait rarity, you know, building out a 10K that felt complementary and felt cohesive, both like visually cohesive and rarity coherent with the original collection. And so that's spawned this whole kind of effort to like not just build the collection, but then to find a dev to work with, write a smart contract, build a way to do it, you know, build tools and whatnot for you to be able to view the collection. And that was really like my first foray into like actual collection making, right? Like figuring out what's needed to make a collection and how to make it desirable and whatnot. And that was a ton of fun. And in the process, we built a DAO around that, a decentralized autonomous organization. We donated kind of a third or a little bit over a third of all of the mint and 100% of all royalties, to a multi-sig wallet managed, treasury. We gave it all back to the community. And that community exists today. It still has quite a few holders. Was a fun project. But we also kind of recused ourselves from any kind of position of management or benefit from that project going forward. That was part of kind of our commitment to, delivering that project was to, never take royalties. All royalties would be held by the treasury. The other dev and I, you know, we sit on the multi-sig wallet, but we're just 2 out of 9 signers on a multi-sig wallet. So there's no control that we have or anything like that. And so it was a cool process and it was a cool journey into kind of being a creator in Web3. But my love for punks didn't really die there, right? Like I still, you know, for the next couple of years, I still goofed around. I still did a lot of like, you know, one-of-one exploratory stuff with my own punk. I love breaking down the pixels. I love writing long threads about kind of nuances or finding kind of potential kind of discrepancies or whatnot with the traits. Like I can remember a couple of threads I wrote about like which ways do zombie eyes actually look? Do they look left or do they look right? And everybody thinks zombie eyes are black pupils with the red around, like the red whites. But they're not. Like, and I think I've proven it in a couple of threads. They're actually zombies have red pupils and the meat of the eye is the black part. And so everybody thinks zombies look the different direction from all the other punks, but they don't. Go back and find my threads and you'll be enlightened, because once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so, yeah, I spent the next couple of years really kind of researching punk still, writing stuff, creating things on the side. And that's kind of the journey that it's been on until this last year in 2023, where I discovered kind of a new way of looking at punks. And it was, I want to say it was like March or so, of 2023, where another pixel artist that I follow named Jay Peter posted a I think it was just an exercise in minimalism that he was playing around with. And it was essentially, a sprite sheet of maybe 24, 30 punks or so, iconic punks, like some of the zombies, apes and aliens, that were in 8x8 pixel format. And it was amazing that you could see just 64 pixels and you could still associate it to the punk that it was referencing. And I found that fascinating. And, you know, I consider myself somewhat of a minimalist in life anyway. And so I was like, oh, let me see what my own 7741 would look like in that format. So I got to work, I looked at Jay Peter's approach, and then I tried to replicate it in Photoshop, just with basic pixels on a 8x8 canvas. And after doing that for mine, I was like, how hard would it, I just had a curiosity. I was like, how hard would it be to like do it for all the punks? Could I redesign every, 200 plus traits and layers and stuff like that? And could I do them in 64, and would it be meaningful? And, I'm the kind of guy that if I ask myself a question, like it'll itch at me until I actually figure it out. And so I started, I was just one night, I was just like, fuck it. Let's see if we can figure out, if this would even work. And, it didn't take long to realize, like, it's probably not going to work for the full 10K if you really want the 10K to be distinguishable. And, if you want to be able to look at a 10K and know each punk is, what it references, it's 8x8. The canvas just to me wasn't big enough. And so I was like, well, let's try 10x10 out of curiosity. So I tried again. Spent another few hours, a couple of days probably, redoing the traits again at 10x10. And it didn't feel right still. It was still, to me, it's what I call like pixel collision and trait collision. It was just still causing problems visually. And so then I was like, okay, third time's a charm. Let's try 12x12. And as soon as I did the first couple, I was like, okay, this is going to work. And then it was still a lot of work though, because once you realize it's going to work, comes the hard work of, validating, building the whole collection, using all those traits, finding pixel collisions, making decisions. My own punk 7741 is a great example of an exercise that I had to determine where is that mole going to go? Because if you move the mole one pixel lower, one pixel over, one pixel up, with only 144 pixels of canvas to work with, moving one pixel in any one direction is basically moving, 1/12 of the canvas. And that can make a pretty jarring difference in placement. And it can also make a pretty jarring difference in pixel collision with other traits. And so you end up moving it around a lot, testing it with different traits and seeing when does it get hidden and when does it not get hidden. Does the hiding logic match the CryptoPunk's hiding logic? If you place it in the wrong position, especially for something like the iconic 8348, which is the seed phrase punk, if you place the mole in the wrong position, you won't see it with Big Beard. And that's going to be a problem for the most iconic punk in the collection. You want to see the mole. You want to see all seven traits when you make a collection like this that really wants to honor the punks. And so that was weeks, if not into months as well, of just trying again, making small changes, building the 10K, looking at the 10K, zooming in, zooming out, finding little discrepancies that I wanted to fix, fixing them, and then testing it again, making sure that I didn't introduce new collisions by moving a pixel or doing this or that. So there was a love of kind of just of the pixels at that point and pride of like wanting to get it right. Because if I was... And at that time, I didn't even know what I was going to do with it. Like, part of me at that point was, it's an intellectual exercise. Can it be done? I've already started the journey. Can it be done? And what would it look like? And then, after spending so much time on it, I realized like, okay, these are just too damn cute. Like, they're too damn cute. It's amazing that you can actually use a fourth of the canvas space and still make the full collection. And the timing was just interesting too, because at the same time that I was exploring all of this, I had been introduced to this new protocol called Eescriptions.
Wait, I want to come back to ETH descriptions. I want to say something real quick before we get into all that, because that was a great, not only a great introduction, but I think it was like a great overview of pretty much everything that, you know, the bits and pieces that people might know you for in the space. And what I respect a lot about you is that you're doing things out of curiosity, and you're doing things in the space for like the love of playing with the technology. As you mentioned, you kind of had like a bit of a background at Microsoft already. So there were things that you were curious about, and you were kind of playing with it, and then it led to something authentic. But you also, like other guests on the show, you've also, you know, found your CryptoPunk to help create your digital identity, which I really don't want to gloss over that, because I don't know if everybody, I know most of the listeners who are in the NFT space or in the Web3 space, they know what CryptoPunks are. But when I look at some, you know, multiple times on the podcast, and, you know, friend Spotty Wi-Fi, what he's been able to do with his IP from his CryptoPunk, and, you know, somebody who I see everywhere at conventions and things is Crypto Novo, right? So what Crypto Novo does with his Crypto Punk, and part of who kind of who he is when he's out there dressed as the punk, the whole thing with the, you know, the mask on and everything. And you've been able to do that, but you've also been able to do it in a way where you've been able to, as you mentioned, like scratch that itch, those curiosities of the technology and the space. And you didn't start off as a dev, but you almost kind of become one almost by accident because of how hands-on you've been. And the technology piece of what you've been able to do, you know, you mentioned starting off kind of having fun with Photoshop for, you know, for your kids with the original punks leading to the expansion punks. But now what you've been able to do with technology is something called ETHscriptions, which for a lot of listeners is maybe a little bit of a newer term. Let's talk a little bit about it. I've heard you talk about this on Spaces lately, but the technology behind ItiBits is actually cutting edge. If you're listening to this right around the time it comes out, which is January of 2024, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of copycats coming out, you know, for years to come. But what is it about the technology with ItiBits and another kind of itch that you needed to scratch and another love letter for the punks that's recently been released? And not only that, what was it, in like less than a week or a week, you had over $1 million in volume and secondary sales or something, which is absolutely insane. Talk about what that's been like, the journey to start ItiBits, the technology behind it, and kind of the ride that you've been on since you've dropped.
Yeah. So yeah, about the same time that I was, you know, knee deep in these pixels and just experimenting with minimization and, you know, trying to make the collection work as a 10K, a connection of mine, a guy goes by Middlemarch here on Twitter, Tom Lehman. He and I were connected in the year prior to, like we connected in, I think it was in 2022, out of just a shared love for kind of punks and, you know, the technology and the collectability behind punks. And so he and I would kind of just every once in a while do like exploratory stuff together, you know, looking at the hex colors of the punks.png and, you know, comparing it to the way that the punks were put on chain in August of 2021. And like just kind of finding nuances and whatnot in the data. And so he and I were geeking out on a few different things that way. And then one, like sometime in like, I think it was like spring or so of 23, he reached out to me and he said, "Hey, I'm doing something called ETHscriptions. I'm launching today." It was literally like he didn't even give me a heads up. It was just like, "I'm launching the protocol today." I'm like, "Well, what the hell is it?" And he's like, "Well, it's pretty wacky, but it's kind of like ordinals, but it's also nothing like ordinals on Bitcoin. And you know, go read this." I think he pointed to be a Medium or something like that. And he's like, "Just go read this and, you know, come join a Spaces. I'm going to start a Spaces and we're going to talk about it." And so I jumped in, I listened, the way he described it in the early days, resonated with me, because like I said, I'm not a dev. The project that I did with, a dev back in 2021, the expansion punks, that was, done on a regular ERC 721 smart contract. I couldn't really help in that regard because I don't write Solidity. I did the art, I did, you know, some of the write-ups and stuff like that for the collection, but, I could not build the site. I could not build the smart contract or anything like that. So, this concept of kind of when I learned that, you know, Ethscriptions, they don't have a smart contract. I was like, well, what the, how is that going to work? And the best way to think about what is an Ethscription in my book is to just think about it as, you know, we all have MetaMask and or whatever wallet you're using, and we can all send and receive transactions. We can all send ourselves an ETH. We can all send ourselves zero ETH. You know, you can send yourself a zero ETH transaction. You just pay the gas and you're just sending yourself zero ETH on the network, which is kind of funny. But so that concept of we can all send transactions, just like we can all Venmo each other $5, you know, you go out for drinks with a buddy and you owe him $20 the next day, you know, you didn't bring your wallet to the bar. So the next day you Venmo him $20 and what do? In the memo field, you add like a little beer cheers emoji, and that's kind of you're saying like, thanks for the beer, right? Well, what is that emoji? That emoji is an image that you're putting into the memo field. And that analogy just stuck with me, right? Like the idea of doing an Ethscription is you're using the memo field of an ETH transaction, but it's not called a memo. It's called the call data field. And it's part of, it's, you know, it is in MetaMask. You have to go into advanced settings and turn it on to expose the call data field. But you can put, you know, a Base64 data URI into the call data. That's text speak for, you know, the text hex version of like, you know, what makes up an image, all the data that makes up an image. You can put it in the call data and send a zero ETH transaction to yourself. And when you do that, you're writing that image into the call data on Ethereum mainnet. It's not on L2. It is on Ethereum. It's decentralized just as Ethereum is. And it's cheap because you're not interacting with a smart contract and you're not changing state or anything like that on a smart contract, which is amazing. Because you can literally Ethscribe little images for 70 cents, maybe a dollar, et cetera. And that's putting the image on the blockchain. And then this protocol has standards and protocols around how indexers can scan the fire hose of what is Ethereum transactions, find transactions that meet this syntax standard and index them and present them as Ethscriptions in your browser. And so it's, to me, that idea of like, wow, it's a new way of thinking about layer one, Ethereum. It's a new way of creators like myself who don't write smart contracts to be able to put things on chain and point people to them and allow people to see art that's on chain. And that just fascinated me. And this is happening in parallel to Itybits, you know, being developed and, you know, ideated around. And the closer I got to winter, the more and more that analogy was sticking with me of, you know, Itybits, it's smaller punks. It's more efficient punks on a more efficient Ethereum. And that was like, when I realized that connection and simplicity between the, all this effort going into minimizing punks and making them smaller, was such a great parallel for all the work that, the Ethscriptions team was doing to kind of design this protocol and figure out ways to make transactions smaller, if you will, or cheaper on gas. And a new way of thinking about Ethereum, just like this is a new way of looking at, you know, what we all love and know as punk. So it culminated into this like kind of beautiful analogy between the two, that once I realized it, I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. I had been, you know, in the fall, I had been like trying to kind of explore whether it would make sense as an Ethscription or as an ERC-721. I had a lot of people telling me, just release it as an ERC-721. Nobody fucking cares about Ethscriptions. Nobody knows what that is. You know, like, it's a waste of your time. The market is too small. Release it as an ERC-721. That's where all the people are. And I took it at, by the time we got to September when Beeple had his event in Charleston, I had already kind of had the collection. I had the website 99% built, running on a, you know, test environment. And I took it to the event because I knew that there would be punks to share it with. And at brunch, I shared it with a couple of, you know, maybe five or six other punks because I wanted to gauge reactions, right? Like I fucking loved it. Like I loved looking at it. But I needed to see what other punks would think about these Itybits. And it was positive, right? Like I passed my phone around, and if you haven't already, check out itybits.xyz. It's amazing on your phone as well.
I'm looking at it actually right now. I have it pulled up. I just wanted you to know it's really cool. It's really, really cool what you have. I think the fact that you, I want you to keep going, but I don't want to forget to say this. The fact that you ran it by other punk holders first, I think is really important. And I think a lot of people who look at any sort of an expansion project or derivative project, they automatically already have a, oh no, it's another ape thing or it's another punk thing. With you, it's different. Because you're a punk holder and you're tied in directly with other punk holders who you kind of lean on for, is this, am I doing this right?
Yeah. And I mean, the nicest compliment I got at dinner was, I won't name names, but he asked me for my phone back. Like after the phone had been passed around, he was like, hey, Jeremy, can you just give that back to me? I felt something that I haven't felt in a long time. Navigating through the collection, and I just want to do that again. And that's when I was like, oh shit, this is cool. Like, you know, there's something there. You know, he wanted to do it. He wanted to thumb through it again. Go to ittybits.xyz and you'll see it with your own thumb. And how fun it is to kind of move around the entire collection all on a phone. And that, you know, so once I felt that from him, I was like, okay, I gotta continue to focus on this. I got a little bit of feedback. There was a couple of things, you know, you could, at the time, you couldn't type in your 4-digit number at the top of the webpage to like jump straight to yours. So that was good feedback to kind of, you know, obvious in retrospect. And little pieces like that. But like, I came back from that event, you know, invigorated to like, all right, buckle up. Like I need to keep pushing on this. I need to keep kind of thinking through how to do this right. And I spent kind of then most of October, November, fine tuning it, building more features into the site. And this is all using ChatGPT, by the way. I think I've neglected to say that, but you know, yes, I was a techie at Microsoft, but not a dev. Like I've never coded. Last thing I coded, I keep telling people this. The last thing I really coded was my MySpace page in 2007 or 8 or something like that. So, this was an effort of, you know, figuring out how to use ChatGPT, how to learn how to deploy, you know, local host servers on my desktop, how to learn how to, you know, use Visual Studio back and forth, like literally ChatGPT on one screen, Visual Studio code on the other screen, localhost running on my desktop on another screen, testing and learning and going back and forth, and probably super inefficient, but, and that's why it took me probably 5x longer than any competent dev would probably take to build the site. But I knew what I wanted because I am a collector. I know the collection. I know the Punks collection so well that I know the experience that someone like me wants to feel on a page, looking at the collection, pivoting the collection and whatnot. So, and I've come across some really cool visualizations. Like there's, you know, OpenSea Dragon, which is a no relation to OpenSea. It's just called Open because it's open source, but it's the Sea Dragon pinch to zoom experience that's on the homepage, the Microsoft Sandance Explorer open source on the Explore page. Lots of really cool features that it boggles me that nobody's ever put these to use, but they're amazing experiences that every collection should be thinking about. And I wanted to do it. So it was, you know, just long conversations with ChatGPT, lots of testing. And it wasn't until roughly early December, literally like a month before launch, that I reached out to a friend of mine who is a React developer. And I said, hey, I'm probably launching this pretty damn soon. Can you look at my site to make sure that like the way I did Wallet Connect isn't going to like drain somebody's wallet? Can you make sure that like my stuff is efficient and take a look? And I gave him access to the Git, and he quickly found a ton of inefficient things that ChatGPT didn't get right, but they were visually cool. But like, you know, every time you switched pages on the site, all 10K punks were loading in the browser again. And so it was really freaking slow if I would have deployed it that way. But he was able to kind of look at it and get to work on making it a little bit more efficient, making it a little bit more secure, polishing a couple of UI things that, you know, just me going back and forth with ChatGPT about CSS issues, you know, was taking forever. And, you know, he was, you know, a couple hours and he was able to make a bunch of changes that would have taken me a week. And so that was pretty remarkable though, because like literally what you see, 95% of it was there, at the beginning of December. And then it was, you know, a quick outreach to Ordex, you know, a quick, like, this is what I've got. I think it's pretty close to being ready. Ordex is the eScriptions marketplace. And they pivoted quick. You know, they were like, yeah, we love it. We want to feature it. We want to launch with you, early first week in January. Let's plan for it, you know, and then it quickly turned into, all right, let's get the word out. Let's start, you know, I created the Itty Bits, the Itty Bits Twitter handle. I did some kind of fun things with SHA-256 where I hashed the entire, I did a SHA-256 hash of the 10K image containing all the Itty Bits. And this was part of my love story back to CryptoPunks as well. I took a page from how Larva Labs referenced the SHA-256 hash of all 10K punks in the original smart contract for CryptoPunks. So I did something similar there so that inevitably, once I released the website and showed people the artwork, I could always prove through that SHA-256 hash and through the Twitter posting and then a subsequent kind of transaction that I made referencing the same hash on Ethereum, that the artwork is, you know, original to Itty Bits. And lo and behold, as soon as I launched the website, you know, copycats came and scraped as many of the images as they could, released it on Ordinals, tried to release it on eScriptions. I had somebody releasing it as a 16 by 16 variant of the same artwork, just with a larger frame on OpenSea. So a lot of people tried to kind of front run it in different ways. But I expected that. And that's why I did the hash. And that's why I also, everything that I deployed on the site, they were all decoy images. So they weren't the actual authenticated images. And that's a kind of a special part of the project that people don't realize is that every image, it isn't just the pixels. There's a lot to every image. There's two things going on behind the pixels that you don't realize. One is, like CryptoPunks, they seemingly are on a transparent background, right? The punks themselves or the Itty Bits themselves, they're on a transparent background. But what you don't realize is it's actually not transparent. The background pixels are all at 1% opacity, or a little less than 1%, but they're all minimized in terms of opacity. So they appear to the human eye as you know, transparent. But in actuality, there's a smattering of colors back there. And that's important. And it's because I did something with the background in order to create a level of authenticity and verification for each Itty Bit, such that when you feed the actual authentic Itty Bit image into any SHA-256 hashing algorithm, they're all open source, you can get them all over the web, the SHA-256 hash that it produces will end in the four digits matching the CryptoPunk from which it came. And it sounds complex. I think I'll start with what is a SHA-256 hash, and I'll try to explain that. It's essentially a one-way algorithm. You could put any file through the SHA-256 algorithm, and it will distill it down to 64 hexadecimal characters. And it's a fingerprint. It's a unique set of 64 hexadecimal characters. It looks like it's garbledygook, right? Like you can't really read it, and you can't reverse it because it's only 64 characters. Whether you put a 2-hour, you know, gigabyte, multi-gigabyte movie through the algorithm, or whether you put a tiny pixel image through the algorithm, it's always going to spit out that 64 character hexadecimal string. So there's no data in it. It's just a fingerprint. And when you do that, you can't predict what that string is going to be. There's something called avalanche effect to that string. If you change one tiny thing in the image, the whole string will look different, right? It's just this compounding effect of the algorithm crunching, 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 minimizing down to this 64 character string. And so there's no way to deterministically predict what an Itty Bits hashed value is going to be. You actually just have to create thousands of Itty Bits for every Itty Bit until you find one with that magical background fingerprint of mostly transparent pixels that actually hashes out to match the CryptoPunks ID. And so statistically, it's about 64,000 and change, 65,000 on average iterations that have to be created of any individual Itty Bit until you find one that you get lucky with and it matches the punk. And so for the collection, I had to create 648 million itty bits to find and curate the 10,000 itty bits where each itty bit hash matched back to the CryptoPunk. And so that's pretty special. It was a big process. It was obviously supported through scripts and through ChatGPT and Python. Had to run my computer, just a regular old laptop, you know, for 30 something hours to get it to build all of the correct itty bits that way. And it creates this level of proof of work behind each itty bit, right? Because it's one thing just to create a 10K using a script that just, you know, that just combines the traits and now you have a 10K. It's another thing to kind of put a level of thought into kind of the proof of work and the authenticity behind each in a way that speaks its kind of heritage back to the CryptoPunk from which it came. So it's kind of fun. You can go and now on the website, you can right click on any of the itty bits, save it to your desktop, hash it through the SHA-256 hashing algorithm, the file hash, and you'll see that it reads out last four digits matching the punk. And you can even see that on the ittybits.xyz website. We have some UI that helps you see that as well. And then one other secret thing about the background there is I have what's called the signature pixel on each itty bit. So at the very bottom right of each itty bit, also transparent mostly, is a single pixel in the signature position. And that pixel is always the hex value code for its own ID number. And so it's a self-referential and it's also referencing the punk ID, of course. You know, the hex value, it's typically a 6-digit hex value for a color. And so we always start with 00 and then it's the punk ID remaining. So 007741 is the pixel color for the bottom right for my punk and for my itty bit. And so those are all like special nuances that nobody, like even though we released the art in advance and you had all the time in the world to kind of try to scrape the art and try to create and front run the collection, you couldn't because those aspects of the collection weren't revealed. And those weren't really discoverable until we actually allowed the mint to happen. And then when they went on chain, you know, once they're on chain in that format, the beauty of Inscriptions is that it's first come, first scribe. So Inscriptions has a bias towards the first version of a unique data URI being put on chain. So if you take any itty bit and try to go Inscribe it, using any like the Inscription tools, it'll warn you. It'll say like, well, this is already Inscribed. If you Inscribe this, you're not going to be the owner of it. And, you know, it'll be a duplicate and, most indexers won't pick it up. They'll ignore it because it'll recognize it as already on chain. And so that was a pretty special thing about kind of using this protocol was the ability to kind of actually release the art, build awareness for the art without fear of front runners, because front runners wouldn't be able to reverse engineer the actual methodology for creating an authentic itty bit.
You know, it almost feels like little Easter eggs kind of hidden in there. And when a lot of people look at a CryptoPunk or a lot of people who are seeing on the news, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, you know, this NFT sold for this much money or whatever, kind of like how things were back in, you know, the early days, even when people were really just discovering them, they looked at CryptoPunks as just kind of a very basic, almost kind of like an old fashioned video game, you know, character. And so a lot of people are like kind of, we mentioned at the top there, like, oh my goodness, I can't believe so many people would pay this much money for this particular thing. Right. But then over time you start to kind of realize CryptoPunks themselves. I think it was Mark Cuban who actually called CryptoPunks like the rookie card of NFTs. So there's a little bit of value behind that. And recently, and this is kind of a big one. I know you're aware of this one. Cosimo Medici said that, you know, itty bits might actually wind up being the mutants to the CryptoPunks, the kind of the way the mutants have, you know, the Bored Ape Yacht Club has their mutant ape. So I think there's a lot that you've done with this that make it really, really interesting. I mean, look, I like the tech behind the blockchain. Like that's what we're called, Fired Up on the Blockchain, for a reason. But it's the people who do really cool things, really creative ways to kind of show what the blockchain can do. And that's exactly what you've done. I mean, I'm looking at my itty bit right now, which is 9765. So nobody make an offer, I'm not selling that guy. But, you know, I saw him. I was like, you know what? This is kind of cool. He's got an earring. I wasn't really going after sort of any. It was like right, I think, before everything started to kind of take off with the sales. So I just said, let me at least get one. My friend told me about this site I mentioned Inceptionally at the beginning. And he was like, hey, this is the site Ordex. It's a newer site. So if you never sign into it, you might not be used to it. So I'm sitting there like, oh man, fingers crossed. Like, let me go onto like a burner just to make sure like that everything goes okay. And I got it. And I started looking around and I put the hash pixels on and I started looking and I was like, oh yeah, wait, it is the same numbers at the end there, which is tied to the original punk, which if you on the phone, if you scroll down a little bit, like you see the punk that's tied to. And there's little things like that that really just make me excited about projects like this. Like I even told myself I wasn't going to buy any PFP style projects anymore. Like I just was done with it because look, a lot of us bought some things during the last couple of years that didn't pan out. So I said, look, music, I get art, I get utility projects. I'm not chasing pumps, but if there's something that's interesting, I'm going to look at it. And this, my friend, this is interesting. I think the way that you described a lot of the technology is not only just kind of fun for us to sort of discover as we're looking, but really fun for you. I would imagine it's fun for you. I know it was a lot of work, but fun for you to create. And we can kind of tell, we can feel it. And I think that's why when you were sitting there with other punk holders and, you know, your buddy said to you, like, there's something I'm feeling from this that I haven't felt in a long time. Like there's something real about it. The same way there was something real about expansion punks. And I do want to talk a little bit about that. We can come back to talk more about Itty Bits for sure. Because again, as I mentioned, like you've got some of the biggest holders. I mentioned Cosimo and Medici. You've got a lot of CryptoPunk holders trying to buy the one that matches the one that, you know, the punk that they originally got. But, you know, I think a lot of this we talked about at the beginning, like would never have started if you didn't just try to have some fun with your original punk. And that's kind of what led to expansion punks. I know you mentioned that there's still a DAO. I want to talk a little bit about that because I've got, you know, expansion punk. I got friends who have been big on them for the longest time as, you know, not just like a quote unquote, like early derivative project of punks, but just something that was a little bit different with, you know, playing with different styles of, you know, gender and non-binary and things like that, really trying to make sure that you've kind of expanded what the original crypto punks started. But then there's also a DAO. And now I think a lot of folks, you know, kind of, we got excited over the idea of DAOs in 2021. And that was 2024. And some DAOs did some really cool things. And a lot of DAOs really never got the feet off the ground. And I don't know why one way or the other. Let's just talk a little bit because I'd kind of be remiss if we didn't spend a little bit of time talking about expansion punks and the DAO behind it. You know, tell us a little bit about what that lead up to the eventual sellout was like. I know it wasn't immediate. I know we all expected it to be immediate. And then it just kind of came to the point where I know you didn't even wind up getting some that you kind of wanted to go in and buy on secondary. I think I heard you say that a couple times. And then, you know, into a DAO and the fact that there's still people, still members who are able to write DAO proposals.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really interesting one because I think we did a lot of cool things and a lot of things right with that collection. But we were writing this idea of like the DAO was the key word of like 2021, right? Everybody was building DAOs and like, and we aspired because of the project's ethos around, you know, leveling kind of the gender disparities in the original and whatnot. And whatnot, we felt like, all right, like there's good feels to this. And, at the end of the day, you know, two white guys shouldn't necessarily be the face of this. And so, nor should we be kind of taking royalties from this either. And so we said, you know what, like when we launch it, we're going to commit to establishing a DAO with a multi-sig wallet and like seeing an experiment, like seeing how this plays out in Web3, with members driving or steering the ship. In retrospect, it might not have been the best decision. It's hard to say. Like the DAO still exists. The money is all still in the treasury. Some proposals were written in 2022 and I think a little bit in 2023 to spend some money on like a CMO role. And so we had a CMO operating for a little bit on a compensated basis. It was a rough time. The market was, you know, pretty rough in 2022 and 2023. And so those didn't create kind of the lift or the impact that I think we wanted them to. You know, it was a rough time. There was DAO proposals written that weren't great that we couldn't proceed with because they weren't actionable. And everybody, you know, DAOs are interesting because like they're still a lot of work. You think that many hands make light work, but they're actually really complex. And if you don't have anyone really dedicated and funded and compensated by the DAO to actually own things and that will actually usher and steer, they don't go very far. We're kind of in this space right now with that DAO where we need better proposals. We have a decent treasury. We have a CryptoPunk that the community voted on and decided to acquire, CryptoPunk 2321, which is great. You know, there's a little bit of like that connective tissue from Expansion Punks back to the original CryptoPunks through that acquisition. And there's some decent funds in the treasury wallet, but there's not a lot of, and there's, you know, in the recent weeks, there's been more chatter, with Itybits launch, you know, people are also kind of recognizing like, okay, there were other derivative projects that were high work effort, like Expansion Punks, and like people are discovering that again, and, you know, floor has risen on that in the last 10 days. Well, because, you know, it's the wave of kind of more people looking at past projects. But it's actually a good opportunity for Expansion Punks to potentially find new direction with the added eyes and with maybe some more energy around it. It isn't something that I'm going to attempt to kind of lead or manage. There was a commitment that the other dev and I made from the very beginning that we would never benefit from the DAO, we would never take compensation from the DAO, and we would never kind of control you know, the future of that treasury or anything in any way, and that it needed to be community driven. And so there's opportunity there for the right, you know, for the right community, you know, to take shape and to use those funds in a meaningful way. And so I'm excited to kind of see how that might materialize. I'm still on the multisig wallet, so I will support and sign transactions as the community directs. But yeah, I think there's an opportunity for that one. I do look at it though as like, it's a challenging one. Like DAOs are not easy. And so it was a massive experiment, and it's an experiment still in the making. And I hope to see kind of that story, take more shape in the months ahead.
Yeah. Very well said. So, you know, I looked at the DAO proposals too. I even kind of threw something in there like, hey, if I have an idea, how do I go about it? You know, that kind of thing. And somebody was just like, hey, just present it here. And of course, you know, if you've never really written a DAO proposal or really got involved in a DAO, it could be a little bit intimidating. The fact that there's a platform there for people to write a proposal to possibly have, you know, get funded for something really interesting or really cool through the XPunks DAO, it's kind of just another kind of layer to who you are and what you've done, you know, as a creator. And of course, giving that back to the community, I understand that. But man, you've done a lot. You know, I feel like we've talked heavily about Itybits. We've talked about CryptoPunks. We talked about, of course, Inscriptions, you know, where you got started a little bit playing around and eventually creating the XPunks. But I think a lot of people who are getting excited, whether you're talking about Bitcoin ETFs out there, you're talking about prices rising of things, or people who are having fun playing with meme coins, trying to chase those kind of things around. And I think you're getting there's a lot of eyes, of course, on crypto. You know, you could turn on CNBC and they're, you know, they'll say like S&P 500, NASDAQ, and they'll say gold, silver, copper, and they'll say, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana. Like it's kind of mainstream for a lot of folks now. But we're also maybe at the very beginning of the next bull run. A lot of people are saying we kind of just had a mini bull run there for a second. What do you think is going to be, you know, you're the next part of your story here? You know, we heard a lot where you got started, heard a lot where you went, a lot of twists and turns, and kind of had some fun along the way with technology, selling out great big collections, creating DAOs and all kinds of other stuff. And now we've got Itybits that just dropped. What do you think your story is going to be leading into 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to stay in Web3. I'd like to kind of continue to build in this space. It's figuring out how to kind of sustain that energy and sustain that presence without, and I want to learn from kind of, you know, things that didn't go as planned as well. For example, like there will be no DAO around Itybits. I think the DAO concept, that the experiment that it was and still is, it just didn't allow me kind of the freedom to own the path forward for the collection. And even though, I mean, there's been some people in the community that have said, Jeremy, you should write a proposal to take it back and to keep the treasure. And it's like, no, I'm not going to, like, that's disingenuous. We committed from the beginning unequivocally. We wouldn't be involved in treasury or sorry, in royalties or in having access to the treasury in any way. And we have to, like, that's something we have to honor. And the experiment needs to go on, and we need to figure out a way to kind of come out of this experiment that way. So it's taking learnings like that. It's taking learnings like, you know, watching other projects and watching, like, you know, there's no roadmap. There's no commitment. Like, I'm in Itybits because it's a passion of mine. I want to build stuff around it. I'm actively ideating around kind of what's next for Itybits. But there's no roadmap. Like, I'm not committing to there's no token. I'm not a token trader. I don't know how to do that. I'm not going to be releasing any kind of token or any kind of like DeFi or anything like that related to Itybits. It's just, I want to continue to kind of like write this love story and this connectivity and connect with culture and connect with, the community in ways. And the community is pretty awesome. Like, if you haven't had a chance, jump into Discord and like look at what's going on inside the Itybits Discord. Creators are in there. They're creating awesome kind of pixel art related to Itybits. They're adding bodies. They're creating memes, all kinds of funny stuff. A lot of creative people in there. They're talking. A lot of them are talking about how much fun, like, this whole concept of subscriptions, because the gas fees are so low, how easy it is to send Itybits to each other. The other day I sniped a Itybit that looks like my wife off of secondary, and I sent it to her wallet for 77 cents. Like, you can't do that with ERC-721, right? For 77 cents, that was the gas to transact and send the Itybit to her wallet. Like, that's amazing. That's what I'm here for, is kind of like the fun of collecting, the fun of curating your own little collection. And then the fun ways of like looking at that collection through the portal, through, you know, Ordex marketplace or other future marketplaces potentially. And that, like, the fun of sharing too, like, you know, the fun of connecting other people into this ecosystem and into this way of looking at Ethereum in a slightly different perspective. And the beauty of it is it's all still on Ethereum. Like, you don't have to use a new wallet. You don't have to learn a new protocol. You don't have to transfer or bridge ETH into something else. Like, you're literally just opening up MetaMask, connecting your wallet, and sending transactions the same way. But you're never interacting with smart contracts, which is just, I think it's poetic. It's an interesting kind of way of using the existing decentralized architecture to find ways to kind of do what we're all familiar with, but do it in a smaller, more efficient way, just like the Itybits kind of represent that, you know, more efficient punks on a more efficient Ethereum. So it's a nice, elegant kind of story there of how this stuff comes together and resonates for me. And I want to continue to kind of play on that. I want to continue to kind of build this concept of digital identity. You know, I'm big on digital identity. You see me with Jeremy.eth. I've got the .eths for all my daughter's first names. I got the .eth for my wife's first name. I was there, you know, in the moments that they opened up the protocol to 6, 5, 4, and 3 letter ENS domains. I was there on day one buying my first names for my family. So I'm really into kind of this concept of digital identity. And I'm looking for ways and ideating on ways to kind of make that real as well, in the Itybit space.
You know, I think I heard you say recently that, you know, it's because it's inscribed on ETH, it'll exist as long as Ethereum exists. And I think that's really, really fun for people to know too. I mean, look, 77 cents. So if you're out there and you want to send me an itty bits, it's only going to cost you 77 cents, people. Probably less when gas is low. But no, anyway, I mean, look, there's so many fun things that are going on with you, with itty bits, with everything that you've done so far along your journey. I'm sure that you'll have a long lasting career here. I mean, whether it's in Web3 or beyond, I think that your use of technology, obviously, you've got that background and you've done so much, you've seen so much. If I'm out there, if I'm starting a new project, if I need an advisor for something, if I want to inscribe on ETH, I'm looking for you, Jeremy.eth. I mean, I think that, you know, you're somebody who is a trusted voice, you know, dare I say OG in the space, somebody who is actually put in those man hours. And let's be honest, you know, with the market coming back, there's going to be a lot of people coming in sort of pretending that they put in those hours or maybe done a little bit of watching a few YouTube videos or something. But we have somebody here who has done it and has been doing it for years. And I have no doubt who will be doing it for many, many years into the future. So before we sign off, I want to personally thank you, Jeremy Dotti. This is, as I mentioned at the top, a couple years in the making. I'm glad we finally got to make it happen. If there's anything you want to say to the Itty Bits community out there, anyone who's been following your journey or just hearing about you for the first time, let them have it. Tell them what the commune itty is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I think you started it with that commune itty, which I think is just brilliant. Like that is, I didn't come up with that. The community came up with that, which I think is just so amazing that this concept of Itty Bits has really caught fire and sparked the creative minds of many that are now meeting up in Discord. They're memeing it out on Twitter. This whole concept of you know, a lot of what you'll start to see in kind of the messaging and the way we talk about the collection, like it's not all my doing, right? Like it's you know, kudos to all those creatives in the community that are collecting these things, that are memeing these things, because they're creating culture real time for all of us. And I think that's so special. And I just want to give the flowers to the community and to the people that are spending that time talking to each other, making friends. I've seen it said multiple times in Discord, something along the lines of, I haven't felt this way about a Discord in a long time, or I haven't felt this way about a community in a long time, or I haven't felt connected or, you know, inspired, by a community in a long time. And that's to me is special because, you know, I've been in communities in 2021 where everything was like to the moon and everybody was super excited and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't have much of that in 2022 or 2023. And it's not all about floor price, right? Part of it is just about vibing and getting along with others and, feeling good about kind of the time that you do invest and spend on the blockchain or on Discord. And doing that with people that you know, that you get along with and that you associate with is great. And so like that's this idea of commune itty, which is a pun, but it's beautiful and it's community driven. I really love it. And I, you know, and I'm baking that into kind of the way that this is communicated forward. It's commune itty and it's, identity, right? Like, those two things are really like the community and identity is really what's going to kind of, I think, take us to the next steps in this effort. And I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm excited to work with the community to kind of realize those next steps.
Well, I'm excited to be part of the community. I have a lot of friends, as I mentioned, who are big time collectors who are part of the community. I know a lot of us are, you know, really fond of, like I said, fond of you as a person, fond of you as a founder, fond of you as kind of like just a fellow collector as well here in Web3. And, you know, I think a lot of us are going to be excited to see what happens. It's not often you get kind of that cosign from someone like Cosimo Medici saying it could be the mutants to the punks. So I think that there's a lot that we're going to be watching. But in the meantime, everybody, I think the most important thing, like you mentioned, Jeremy.eth, is to have some fun. Let's have some fun, come back. And that's the most important thing. So thank you so much for being a guest on here. This was fun for me. A lot of respect for you, as you already know. And keep on doing your thing, man.
Love it. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed connecting and, we'll see you in the community.
Jeremy.eth, Itty Bits Community, X-Punks DAO, CryptoPunks OG Project in NFT land, and all of you out there, thank you all so much for being a part of this. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you did, please feel free to subscribe, put your notifs on, and of course, if you can give that 5-star review, that will help us stand out in the algorithm. And as we know, as the bull market comes back, you're going to have a lot of people coming out of the woodwork, putting out podcasts, trying to take your money. I'm not trying to take your money. I'm just trying to chat with you and have a good time here and talk about this crazy, mixed up, kind of nerdy, kind of cool, brand new world of NFTs in Web3. And if you do some 5-star stuff for us, we will do our best to reward you. As we move on with our partners at Scoop 3, build out a really cool ecosystem for you to also claim some really fun stuff like merch and all that kind of fun stuff that goes along with being a loyal listener. And in addition to that, if you're enjoying the song Fired Up by Naxx, you can go to iamnaxx, that's iamnax.xyz, and you can pick up your own NFT of the song Fired Up, and it's actually the Genesis token. And by holding that, you will constantly be getting new music dropped right to your wallet every month or so, right from Naxx himself. And speaking of that, if you weren't listening to the previous episodes, if you are a holder of the Journey NFT, the Alpha, the original project released over a year ago, you have in your wallet dropped to all of you an OG token with music from I Am Naxx directly on there. So if you haven't checked yet, look in your hiddens and you've got an OG token right there as a thank you. Hey, everybody, let's keep on doing our thing. We're having some fun again with Itty Bits. All the notes for how to access Itty Bits, how to purchase your own, and how to get involved in the community are all in the show notes. So show some love and do what I always try to do, and that's bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.